Amen. Good morning. Happy January. What is today? The 15th. Good to see you here this morning. If we haven't met yet, my name's Pastor John. Thank you so much for praying for me, Royanne. Thank you for leading that. I really appreciate that. Thank you. And it's really cool that you did that, because that kind of makes it easy to kind of set up the message for today, because we're in part two of this new series that we're starting here at the beginning of the year, First Things First. And last week we talked about repentance. And as we go through this series, we're going to be looking at things, not just things that should be priorities in our lives, but things that we want to, as God's children, be the first people to do. So last week we talked about repentance, how important repentance is, and why we want to be the first person to go and repent. And today, like I just said a moment ago, we're going to be talking about prayer, because how many of you know prayer is important? Amen. Prayer is important. And as Royanne said, we are in day two of our week of prayer and fasting. And so if you're participating with us in that, great. Keep going. God is moving. He's going to bless you. And if you're like, I didn't hear about it, I don't know anything about it, I don't know what this whole deal is about, well, then just go online to bridgecitypgh.com/pray. And there's resources there explaining to you the different ways to fast. Right? Some people are not eating any food. They're just drinking water or just drinking juices or liquids. Some people might be fasting meat but eating veggies or different things. Some people might be fasting a meal because you work and it's like, I kind of need that strength to go to work. But whatever it is, we encourage you and we invite you to fast. And there's a QR code there if you'd like to just pull out your camera, open the camera up on your phone and zoom in on that thing, and you click the little link there, it'll take you right to that. Or you can do it old-fashioned way and type it into your browser. But today is a very, very, very important day, because I believe that God wants to do some things in our lives. I believe God wants to give some clarity as well. During worship, Chantel prayed for hope. And God put something on my heart. And this isn't a part of the message, but I felt led to share this. But Romans chapter 5, verses 3 through 5. You can write that down and, you know, look it up later, but I'm going to say it to you here, because when we're going through things in our lives, it is difficult to see where God is, what God is doing, and why he may have let that happen. But in Romans chapter 5, starting at verse 3, it says, suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance produces character. And character produces what Chantel was praying for, hope. And in verse 5 it says, and that hope doesn't disappoint, because God has shed his love abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. And so her praying for the Holy Spirit to wash us with hope, that's a Bible prayer. God's going to answer that prayer. But there's an understanding that we have to have. See, a lot of times we think God's just going to deliver us from every bad thing. But actually, God, in his goodness, in his perfection, God is so good that he can actually use our worst days to produce perseverance, character, and hope in our lives. So whatever you're going through, the end of the worship experience, we're going to pray. I hope while we were singing that final song that you were thinking in your mind the thing you needed God to turn around. Because we're going to believe God together at the end of our time here this morning for him to move in your life. Because God is not done yet. He's still moving. And he is going to turn it around. If you have your Bible, I'm going to invite you to turn with me to the book of Matthew, chapter 6. We're going to jump right in with First Things First. Matthew chapter 6, it's in the middle. It's kind of the center part of what is known as Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. And we see Jesus here in Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 34. He's talking about people worrying about their needs being met. Specifically, he mentions food and clothing, because back then, if you had food and if you had a pair of clothes, you were actually considered rich. If you were somebody in the ancient world during Jesus' day, if you had two outfits, like you had your church outfit and your work outfit, you were a rich person. So many people lived in fear and anxiety of having what they need. And Jesus tells people, he says, look, God knows what you need. He's a good God. And he takes care of the birds. How much more will he take care of you? He knows what you need. But he ends that statement by saying this: when you're struggling with worry, when you're struggling with fear, when you're struggling with anxiety, when you're struggling with, will I have enough? Am I enough? Will I ever be enough? Matthew 6:33, Jesus says this. Here's the antidote: seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and everything will be added unto you. You say, well, what? But you mean I don't have to work more hours? If you want to, go for it. If that's the avenue God's prepared to provide the things that you need, then go for it. But I can tell you this: if you will make God's kingdom a priority, seeking God's kingdom first, first things first, you will see everything added unto you. And I like that word for added there, because it literally means to put towards you. How many of you have ever been to the casino? Don't raise your hands, because the other holy people will judge you. Just stick it up. I've never been to the casino, but I've watched a lot of casino movies. And have you ever seen where the person, specifically at a poker table, they go all in and they just kind of push that whole big pile of chips into the middle of the pot? Well, that's that word added indicates that God is pushing all of his chips towards you if you'll seek first his kingdom. You say, okay, that's great. Sign me up. How do I seek the kingdom? Well, one of the primary ways, and we're going to talk about it this morning, to seek the kingdom is through the privilege and practice of prayer. The privilege and practice of prayer. See, too often we avoid prayer because it's so daunting and difficult. Say, oh, I could never pray like that person. Or I sit down and I try to pray and I can't pray for 13 seconds. God will take your 13 seconds. And here, I'm a big believer of this. If you will invest that 13 seconds as a seed, even though you're struggling and don't even know if you know what you're doing, God will take that 13 seconds and he'll produce a harvest that will multiply it. And before you know it, you're praying for a whole 3 minutes. See, because here's the thing that you've got to remember. And we talked about it last week in repentance. It's not about being at the destination. It's about being headed in the right direction. You don't have to be at a place to know you're moving toward the right direction. And if you're willing to give them 30 seconds, you're moving in the right direction. But we'll avoid prayer because it seems so daunting or difficult, when in all honesty, it's not. Or we will actually approach prayer not as a first thing first, but as a last resort. Several weeks ago, a young man, a local young man from West End, McKees Rocks, football player, DeMar Hamlin, graduate of Central Catholic, went to Pitt University. He had a tragic incident on the field, and the nation, the globe, stopped. And it was so amazing to see the outpouring of people praying right there on the field. People were praying. You think God's not moving. Now, some of you might have sat there and been like, oh, they're only praying. They don't know who they're praying to, or they're just praying. You know, one of my pet peeves is whenever, like, you share a need or someone shares a need, like, usually see it on Facebook, and it's like, I'm going through this thing, and they're like, praying for you, and I'm like, really? It's gotten so easy for us to just type praying for you, but did you actually pray? See, if I respond at all, I'll pray in the past tense, just prayed for you, or will do. I haven't done it yet, but I'm going to do it. So we either avoid it because it seems daunting and difficult, or we approach it as not a first thing first, but a last resort. What if we pray before the thing happens? What if we're able to see into the Spirit and see what God is doing? Because here's how prayer helps us. Prayer helps us connect with the will of God so that we can see what God is already doing, what he has planned, and what he wants to do. And so when we pray for what we see God already doing, wow, we look like we're prayer warriors because God did what we asked. We're not just shooting wishful thoughts into the thoughts and prayers, hashtag. See, because that's how Jesus did what he did. He said, I only do what I see the Father do. How did Jesus see what the Father did? The same way you and I can see what the Father did in the realm of prayer. I only say what I hear the Father saying. How can we hear what the Father's saying? Within the realm, the practice and privilege of prayer. But I'm also not just the president of the prayer fan club. I'm a client. And as a client, I know that it ain't that easy sometimes, Pastor. You don't know how hard it is. I feel like heaven is shut. I feel like there's a steel roof, and everything I'm shooting up to God is bouncing right back to me. Has anyone else ever felt like that before? Well, today, we're going to look at a passage of Scripture that's going to help us to understand and know what's available to us in prayer, but also give us some encouragement to do what the Bible says, to pray without ceasing. Now, that can mean pray nonstop. And you're like, well, how can I do that? Well, as you practice prayer, you can learn to be. Prayer is communication with God. And just as a side note here, like that means God needs a time to talk too. He's not the speaker at McDonald's where you talk and then he just says, pull around and I got what you ordered. So there's a conversation, a communication, but you can learn to have that at any moment of any time. And one thing I've learned in my own life is that as I grow closer with somebody, awkward silence isn't awkward anymore. That's how I know I have a really good connection with someone, where I can sit in a room with them for a half hour, an hour, whatever, and literally we don't say any word, because it's not about the conversation, it's about the communion that's happening because we're in the same space together. And that's how God wants us to enter into him. But for us, we're learning, how do we do this? And so I'm hoping that there will be some encouragement that you can do this, because you can do this. And so the big idea for today is this. Here's the big thing that we're going to be looking at here this morning is this. Every child of God has the privilege to enjoy these three things. And there's a whole bunch of other things, but for the sake of the text that we're going to be looking at today, these three things can be found in prayer. We can grow in the strength of God. See, and sometimes we want God to give us a thing, but what we really need God to do is to give us his power to endure whatever we're enduring, to change whatever needs to be changed. We're going to be able to be grounded in God's love, and we're going to understand or know or experience the greatness of God's power being demonstrated in our lives. Grow in the strength of God, being grounded in his love, and the greatness of... Because I guarantee you this, what you're asking for, what you're needing, what you're expecting, what you're wanting from God, what you're hoping for God. Because some of us, here's what I know to be true. Some of us really want things for God, but we don't want to bother him. We picture him like a dad sitting in his study or in his man cave watching the game. And we don't want to bug dad for what we need. If you don't hear anything else today as it regards to prayer, can I encourage you to do this? Bug dad. Bug him. Actually, Jesus gives us the green light to ask, seek, and knock. And those words in the Greek, which is what the New Testament is written in, means to keep asking, keep seeking, and keep. You cannot bug God. So go for it. You can do it. You can do it. So Ephesians chapter 3. I'm going to start reading at verse 14, Ephesians chapter 3. I'm going to be reading from the New Living Translation. This is the Apostle Paul writing to these believers in the region of Ephesus. And he says, when I think of all this, the thing that Paul is thinking about is the first part of Ephesians 3, where he talks about how God has revealed his manifold wisdom, the awesomeness and dopeness of his amazing power, might, and intelligence through the church. So no pressure, but you're the manifold wisdom of God. No pressure. And he says, when I think about all this, because he understands there's pressure there, I fall on my knees and pray to the Father. See, I think a lot of times, most of us, we don't enter into prayer because we don't understand how special we are to God, how important we are to God, and how important the things that God has for us to do in the earth are to the church, to the kingdom of God. We don't see ourselves as much, so we don't bother God with much. But he says, when I think of all this, I fall to my knees and pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and on earth. I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, say glorious, unlimited resources. And I know all my Star Wars fans just thought of Emperor Palpatine, unlimited power. Some of you have no idea what I'm talking about. Some of you are like, yes, this is why I love this church. But unlimited resources. He's not going to a maybe God who might have enough. Says, I pray that from these glorious unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust him. Here's something that I'm willing to believe. You've invited Jesus into your life, but you don't feel like he's made a home there yet. And because of that, you're still a little bit leery about this Father in Heaven deal. You're still a little bit wary about, will he really do it? Does he really care? So Paul's praying this prayer that we would grow in God. And it's funny because he says, in your inner being. See, and there's a lot of, you know, Eastern meditation kind of things that talk about inner renewal and all of these other things. And because of that, most Western Christians just kind of steer clear of that whole idea. But here's the thing that you have to understand. When you become a believer, when you're born again by faith in Jesus Christ, here we say it this way. When you receive Jesus as the forgiver of your past and the leader to your future, you cross the bridge. That means you're saved, you're born again. And when that happens, listen to this, God takes up residence in you. So when the Bible or your connection group leader or your mama, your daddy, your granny, your auntie, whoever it is, says, baby, don't go there, baby, don't do that. They're not saying it just because they love you, but if you're a follower of Jesus, if you're born again, Jesus is inside of you. So when you're in the club, Jesus is in the club. When you're in this thing or that thing, and so it's not a matter of you're not hurting Jesus, he's God, but nevertheless, there's this understanding, God lives inside of me, what? But there's another reality, and this is where it breaks from this Eastern inner meditative thing. Not only is God inside of you, but check this out, you now take up residence in him. Try reading any of Paul's letter and not seeing in Christ, in him, in him. Actually, Jesus in John 17, this is the crux of his high priestly prayer. That they would, he's praying to the Father that they would be in me and I in you and you and I in them. And so when we're talking about growing in God, we're not talking about getting externally bigger. So we're talking about an inner work that God is doing, an awareness that we have that we are the children of God. See, the world within us must change before we can affect change in the world around us. And a lot of the issues that I believe people struggle with today are external issues that are creating internal tension. But when we take note that God is inside of us, Philippians 4 says it this way, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything through prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and then the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. So even when we do have that inner tension, it should push us to pray. And here's the other reality that we have to understand, this strength. Prayer changes us before it changes our circumstances. Notice in that passage I just quoted from Philippians, it doesn't say God will give you the answer to your prayer. It says you'll get his peace. Because his peace is what you'll need to endure the not yet or the no. Because God is good enough. I was thinking about this the other day. I said, God, thank you so much for not answering some of my prayers. See, God wants us empowered in our inner man so that the outer pressures of life have minimal to no effect on us. And then those outer issues can receive the requisite level of pushback and resistance from us. Because God didn't just put himself inside of you so that you can just feel good when the poop hits the fan. God put himself inside of you to give you peace when he says, now get up and fight. Get up and bring my kingdom. And so when we pray, when we go to God, God wants to strengthen us in our inner man. He wants to strengthen us in himself. There's a leadership principle that I've adopted. I kind of use it. Some of you may have heard me share this, but I call it the chocolate Easter bunny hypothesis. Yeah, I'm real deep, super deep here. How many of you, when you were a kid, you got that big chocolate Easter bunny, right? You got your whole basket, right? And we know the resurrection power of God and the Reese peanut butter egg is hidden in the little grass. Come on, somebody. Everybody knows that's the best one. You can keep your Cadbury egg second. And for all of you messed up people that like Peeps, we're going to pray for you at the end. We're going to break that stronghold off your life. It's a marshmallow coated in sugar. Like, but that chocolate Easter bunny, even though I knew it wasn't the best thing in the basket, asterisk footnote, see Reese peanut butter egg, it was the biggest and most attractive thing in the basket. And my mom would let me and my brother and my sister, we were a lot, because the only time we were CEOs growing up. CEO Christians. Christmas, Easter only. We were CEOs. So before we went to church, we would get to eat one thing because mom didn't want us bouncing off the pews. And even though I knew the Reese peanut butter egg was the best, even though I knew that resurrection power was in that peanut butter produced from Hershey, Pennsylvania. Come on, somebody. Woo! About to take up an offering. Because that bunny was big and that bunny looked good, I went for the bunny every time. And I got my little plaid Easter suit on with the bow tie. Come on, how many of you long for the days of your plaid vested Easter suit with the bow tie? Yeah, come on. Woo! And I'd go for that bunny, man. And I'd grab it, and I'd open it, and anybody that's ever eaten one of those chocolate Easter bunnies, you know what happens next, right? Crumble. Because the bunny had nothing inside of it. There's a lot of people in our world that look good and look big and look attractive, but because they haven't let suffering produce perseverance and perseverance produce character, they have no inner man. And the moment they get used for the thing that they were made for, they fall apart and make a mess. The back of my head still stings from the chocolate that got on my plaid Easter suit. But God doesn't want you to be a chocolate Easter bunny. He wants to develop inner strength in you. And one of the primary places to develop that he wants to work in you to do that is through prayer. Moving on here in Ephesians chapter 3, going back to the second half of verse 17 here, it says, and your roots, so there's more? Yeah, he's good. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, how deep his love is. Can I tell you why most of us ask little baby prayers, that not, we don't do big audacious prayers? Because we inwardly question how high, how wide, how deep, and how long his love is. If you knew your Father, there's nothing you wouldn't ask for. Verse 19, he says, may you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to fully understand. My God. Whew. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. See, there's a direct correlation of the increase of inner strength and the grounding of God's love. Did you catch it? See, as God builds us in our inner man through prayer and through knowing him and communing with him and spending time with him, we begin to have those roots shooting down deep. And the imagery here is that of things that have dug deep and found stability. And if there's something that you could work on, if you want to try to increase that in your life, like go a little deeper in prayer. Go a little bit deeper in worship. Spend a little bit more time in the Word. Spend a little bit more time with believers that are further along than you instead of the people that are where you're at or not near where you're at who keep putting stupid stuff in your ear. Find you a mama or a daddy in the faith. If you're a lady, find a mama. If you're a dude, find a daddy. But find someone that takes you deeper because they see the deep inside of you. They will challenge you. They will help you shoot those roots down in. Because that word for rooted there, it literally means a plant that sends its roots down and wraps around a rock. See, some of us get so focused on the dirt in our lives around us, but God, through prayer, wants us to shoot roots deep and wrap ourselves around him so that when the wind comes and when the waves come, we don't budge because we're holding on to the rock. It's a good place to be because it's not if the wind comes, it's when the wind comes. Because we live in a fallen world that needs us to be, as Isaiah says, oaks of righteousness. But we've got to have those deep roots because prayer grounds us in the love of God. Now, this is a phrase that gets thrown around a lot, and I don't think people fully understand it. Because a lot of people, when they say they love God, if I, who love my wife, beautiful right here in the front row, keeping an eye on me, said I loved her, but then did some of the things that people who say they love God do, she would have every right to question my love for her. Because love is an easy thing to see, but it's a whole nother thing to do. But there's a reality that we have to understand here, family, that God is love. And so when we spend time with him, we begin to start being transformed into that same image, to where love is not something that we do, love is something that we are. 1 John chapter 4, verse 18 says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out all fear, for fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. When we're grounded in God's love, we can navigate life undisturbed. And when we truly know who God is by spending time with him in prayer, has anyone ever entered prayer and had God say, get away from me? You'll never hear it. Actually, if you may hear, come closer, my child. Draw near. Quiet yourself and let me hold you. See, but that fear of punishment, because we think he's mad at me. See, we have to know who our God is so that we can enter in and be grounded in his love. We'll never be afraid to ask or wonder if God hears us when we realize how much he loves us. And if I could be quite honest, the church has done a really bad job over the years of presenting this, and so the pendulum we've overcorrected to now everything's love, and that's not true. Because 1 Corinthians 13, and you're going to hear about 1 Corinthians. That's coming up here in coming months. 1 Corinthians 13:8 says that love does not rejoice with wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. See, there are things that you're doing that God doesn't rejoice over, but he, as the Bible says, dances with joy over you. And we have to learn that the only way we can have some of those things fall off of us is by going into his presence through prayer. Last week I said it this way, I'll say it again. Our idea of God can't be like, oh, I messed up, dad's gonna kill me. It has to be, oh, I messed up, I better call my dad. And prayer, when we enter in, it helps us to be grounded. Because here's what he'll do. He'll say, it's okay, it's okay, it's okay. And then just like any good parent would do, now we got to talk about some things. We need to course correct. Ephesians chapter 20, verses 21. This is the last one. I'm going to have the worship team come up. We saw how prayer helps us to grow in God, grow in our inner man, strengthen us in our inner man, grounds us in the love of God. And then my favorite, Ephesians chapter 3, 20 and 21. Now all glory to God who is able. Say able. He's able. Some of you just need to hear that today. He's able and he's willing. Because you might be here today and you don't doubt God's ability to do something, but you're doubting, is he willing? The same thing Jesus said to the leper who came to him in Matthew chapter 8. He said, if you can, ability. He didn't say that. He said, if you will. He understood God's ability. You can make me clean. Jesus said, I will. And I believe some of you here today, you need to hear God say to you, I will. May not be in your timing. It may not be in the way that you thought it would show up. But he's going to do it. Now, all glory to God who is able, through his mighty power at work within us, to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. Glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations. This is something God wants us to teach generations. About being strengthened in him, growing and being grounded in his love, and in the greatness of his power demonstrated in and through us. Infinitely more than we might think or ask. My question for you is this: are you asking big enough? Or have you been conditioned by the fallenness of your world to think there's no way he'd do that? There's no way he might bless so and so like that, but not me. Nah. I'm believing by the grace of God that bondage is going to fall off of you today and you're going to dare to ask God big. You might say, well, what about the prayers I asked that he didn't answer? He let me down. And that may feel very real in you, but God cannot fail. And the question, when we see that God hasn't done what we've asked him to do, isn't why, but what for? What's the reason, God? I know you're good. I know you love me. I know you're working all things together. I know you have a plan for me. Why does it seem as if the thing that I've asked you for, pleaded you for, hasn't happened? Can I encourage you in prayer? You'll get an answer. But there's a thing that I believe, and we're going to have our prayer teams get ready now. Because earlier in the book of Ephesians, chapter 1, verse 3, it says that he has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 4 says that these things that we have been freely given through salvation are kept in heaven for us. And we read that and we hear that, and because the Western church has created heaven as a different place than where you are right now, even though the Bible clearly says you're seated with him in heavenly places, we read scriptures like that and we think, oh, that blessing is up there and I'll get it when I go to heaven. But prayer, warring in prayer, being diligent and faithful in prayer, is the place in the avenue that we bring heaven to earth. When the disciples saw how Jesus was operating in the supernatural, they went to him and they said, Jesus, teach us to pray. And our Bible has done a bad job of telling us this is the Lord's Prayer. How could it be the Lord's Prayer when in this prayer is a repentance from sin when he had none? It's not the Lord's Prayer, it's our prayer. It's a template. And Jesus said, here's how you pray. First and foremost, our Father, Daddy, relationship, grounded in the love of God, who is in heaven. God, I feel like you're not here, but I actually am acknowledging you're in a more transcendent place than I am. Your kingdom come. So you're saying, where you're at, come here, because you're the king. Your will be done. So now we're correcting things, because there might be things that you're asking for that's not in his will on earth as it is in heaven. And so the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray was actually to invite these blessings into our life, to bring heaven to earth, to bring heaven to earth. And you say, well, why haven't I gotten it yet? Have you travailed in prayer? Have you pressed a little deeper? Have you placed a demand? Yesterday at the Power Conference, I taught about contending for what's ours. We don't pay a price to get something we don't already have. We give up things to get what rightfully belongs to us. And that's why we fast. That's why we pray. I'm giving up my time because I don't have what I know my dad has for me. So I'm not going to do this thing. I'm going to pray. And I'm going to pray until I see it, or until he corrects how I'm seeing things. But some of us just need to get to that place where we're so rooted and grounded in his love that we say, you know what? There ain't a thing on planet Earth that I believe that can stop. If he who did not spare his own son, Romans 8:32, but gave him up for us, how will he also not along with him graciously give us all things? You've already got his best if you have Jesus, but there's more. And he's saying, bigger than you can think, bigger than you can ask. So think big and ask big. Daniel chapter 10. Daniel, he's dealing with something, and he goes to fast and pray. And one of the types of fast is a Daniel fast. He gave up meat and delicacies and just ate veggies and water. He gave up meat and delicacies, and he began to beseech God in heaven. And the Bible says 21 days later, so that's, some people do a 21-day Daniel fast. This is where they got it from, Daniel 10. 21 days later, the archangel Michael shows up and he tells him something that's so significant, and you've got to get this when you understand how things work in the heavenly realms. He says, the moment you began to pray, I was dispatched with the answer. But a demonic principality called the Prince of Persia held me up in the spiritual realms, and I had to fight with him until other angels could come and free me up to bring the answer to you. Your delay might be that it's stuck up in the heavenly realms. And if you're like, I can't even process that, what does that look like? Have you ever used a vending machine? We got that picture of, there it is. God bless it. Maybe I'm the only person in the room that's put the money in, punched in the code. I've put in the time. I said, God, you're my father. I love you. This is the code because I'm going to dad. And I, boop, 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 boop. And then that joker gets stuck. Maybe you've experienced this. Now, if you're like me, I wasn't like, well, I paid for it, but it didn't come. I guess I'm just a piece of crap. The vending machine hates me. Doesn't want to give me this. Now's not the time for the pity party. Now's the time we grab the vending machine and we shake and we rattle and we kick it and we punch it and we go to war, because that snack cake belongs to me, and by God, I'm not going to stop until I get it. There are blessings in heaven for you that are caught up in the spiritual realm, and God's saying to you right now, it's start shaking. Start punching. Start kicking. Start getting feisty. It's already yours, but now you just got to do a little bit of work to bring it into the place where you can receive it and enjoy it. Right now is the time to rise up and pray. First things first, I'm not going to wait till all hell breaks loose. I'm going to pray until heaven breaks loose. Come on, somebody. And he's going to turn it around. He can't help but do it. He can't help but do it. So right now, wherever you're at, sometimes you're too weak to shake. Sometimes you're too frustrated to push back on the machine that's holding back from you the thing that belongs to you. You just want to walk away. I want to invite you right now. Don't walk away, walk forward. You say, what for? Because these prayer partners, they're gonna come and shake with you. They're gonna rattle, they're gonna punch, they're gonna storm heaven, because it's not just your dad, it's their dad. And when all my kids start bugging me about something, I move a little bit quicker. And I'm an earthly father. But God isn't waiting to move. He's waiting for you to move. So right now, if you're in this place and you need prayer for anything, but specifically you're here today and you say, I need to be growing the strength of God. I need that. And you're going to want to get up from your seat and you're going to come to one of these people. And our ushers, if there's lines, they'll give direction. They'll help you get there. Just be patient. Or maybe you're here today and you say, I feel like a piece of crap. I feel like no one could ever love me. But I'm willing to believe that God does, but I need help being grounded in God's love. Then I want you to come from your seat. And one of these people are going to pray for you. Or maybe you're here today and you need a demonstration of the incomparable greatness of God's power in your life. You need a miracle. You need a sign. You need a wonder. Can I tell you something? God's not done in the miracle business. So right now, don't let pride keep you off to the side. Don't think so highly of yourself that God wouldn't bless you. Don't think so lowly of yourself that God would only give you scraps from his table. But whatever need you have, I want you to just begin to leave your seat right now and come. The worship team is going to play. You can worship. You can pray at your seat. But if you're here today and you need someone to grab hands with you and shake that machine and see that blessing, then...